This week on the show, the IRS delays implementation of the new 1099K regulations again, and the holiday season kicks off with a massive Black Friday. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 227 of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host as we walk through a tiny bit of reselling news and a massive What Sold recap. It's been a terrific week. We'll get into a little bit about the Black Friday and the holiday weekend trends in the reselling news, and then I'll cover some of the stuff that has been going on here at the Galaxy. I hope everybody had a terrific Thanksgiving holiday and that your sales are as good as everybody seems to be reporting so far. So let's get right in to this reselling news.
News updates.
So if you follow me over on Instagram, shameless plug, it's at Galaxy CDs Rocks. I posted this, I believe, on either Tuesday or Wednesday when this was announced. So if you're not following me over there and you want to kind of stay up to date anytime there's some breaking reselling news, again, it's at Galaxy CD Rocks over on Instagram. But the IRS has announced for the second year in a row a delay in the Form 1099K reporting threshold for third-party platform payments. Now, to be clear, just to preface all of this, this change in the reporting requirements, and as I always do when I report on tax news and anything with accounting or whatever, I am not an accountant and I am not your tax lawyer. You need to talk to yours about this. This change only changes the reporting threshold that's required by the platforms, so places like eBay and Amazon and so on. It does not change our obligation as sellers of items who record profits from reporting that income to the IRS. So do with that information what you will. We still have an obligation to report our sales and expenses and everything else on our income taxes. The only thing that's changed is this 1099K. The $600 threshold that was going to be implemented has been delayed, and it looks like it's probably been delayed for 2 years, because this headline goes on to say plans for a threshold of $5,000 for 2024 to phase in during the implementation. So that is a new wrinkle, and that's really interesting. And again, I don't know that this thing will actually ever get implemented, because there has been continuous pressure on Congress to just get rid of this thing altogether. But we'll see how that goes. The news item from the IRS: following feedback from taxpayers, tax professionals, and payment processors, and to reduce taxpayer confusion, the Internal Revenue Service today released Notice 23-74, announcing a delay of the new $600 Form 1099K reporting threshold for third-party settlement organizations for calendar year 2023. As the IRS continues to work to implement the new law, the agency will treat 2023 as an additional transition year. You'll recall, of course, that they did this last year as well. This will reduce the potential confusion caused by the distribution of an estimated 44 million forms 1099K sent to many taxpayers who wouldn't have expected one and may not actually have a tax obligation. As a result, reporting will not be required unless the taxpayer receives over $20,000 and has more than 200 transactions. So the old standard is what's going to be used again for the 2023 tax year. Given the complexity of the new provision, the large number of individual taxpayers affected, and the need for stakeholders to have certainty with enough lead time, editorial note, you would think 2 years of notice would have been enough, but apparently it has not been. The IRS is planning for a threshold of $5,000 for tax year 2024 as part of its phase-in to implement the $600 reporting threshold enacted under the American Rescue Plan. So what they're saying is that this year is 20,000 and 200 transactions. Next year will be 5,000. They did not specify in this news release a transaction limit, but the threshold will be $5,000 for reporting. And then the following year, my guess is that the plan, assuming that there are no changes in the law, will be the $600. They note that reporting requirements do not apply to personal transactions such as birthday or holiday gifts, sharing the cost of a car ride or a meal, paying a family member or another for a household bill. These payments are not taxable and should not be reported on Form 1099-K. And I think that's been one of the holdups. Some of the payment processors, places like Venmo and so on, may not have the capability necessarily of easily distinguishing those non-taxable transactions from ones that should be taxable. And you get a 1099-K that includes all of that, and now you and or your accountant have a big mess on your hands clarifying which of those items should actually be taxable and which one shouldn't. So that, I'm just reading the tea leaves here. That's my guess is where a lot of this delay is coming in, so that these payment processors can sort out how they're going to determine the difference between you selling an item for a profit and getting money from a family member. So the casual sale of goods and services, including selling used personal items like clothing, furniture, and other household items for a loss, though, could generate a Form 1099-K for many people, even if the seller has no tax liability from those sales. This complexity in distinguishing between these types of transactions factored into the IRS decision to delay the reporting requirements an additional year and to plan for the threshold of $5,000 for 2024 in order to phase in the implementation. The IRS invites feedback on the threshold of $5,000 for next year and other elements of the reporting requirement, including how best to focus reporting on those taxable transactions. Expanded information reporting, which will occur as a result of the changes in thresholds for Form 1099-K, they note, is important because it increases tax compliance and can reduce the burden on taxpayers who are seeking to follow the law, which goes back to my initial statement that you are still required to report this income on your taxes. Whether you get a 1099-K and hit this threshold or not, by law, you should still be reporting all of those, all that income, and of course then deducting the relevant expenses. So you should be doing your bookkeeping as the year progresses so that you don't get to tax time and have a big mess on your hands. The 1099-K, the idea behind it is it does make that process much, much easier because the platforms tell you exactly the amount that they have submitted to the IRS, and you essentially just use that same amount, deduct your returns and allowances and things like that, along with your various expenses. It should streamline that whole process. I know a lot of sellers feel like they don't get a 1099-K, they're not messing with taxes. You do what you feel is the right thing to do there, but again, we're still obligated to do that. The IRS goes on to say they believe that this expansion must be managed carefully to help ensure that forms 1099-K are issued only to taxpayers who should actually receive them. So this is good news, I assume, for a lot of resellers, particularly casual resellers who sell fairly small amounts. Someone like myself, for instance, this is not going to be a big change for me. I'm still going to get a 1099-K at least from eBay. I don't know if I'll get one from Etsy or Mercari, but I certainly will next year if the threshold is $5,000. So that's what's going on there. Let me know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube what your thoughts are on this and the whole tax situation. We talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks about the projections for the holiday selling season, and there were kind of mixed opinions on it. Some of the platforms kind of were talking about sales maybe not being quite what some of the others were expecting. Adobe Analytics has announced that Black Friday online sales were up 7.5%. So that is a pretty nice increase. Online sales on Black Friday, which was November 24th of this year, reached nearly $10 billion. According to data from Adobe Analytics, spending rose 7.5% compared to last year's shopping holiday to reach a record $9.8 billion. 80% of Black Friday online orders, they note, used standard shipping, which is interesting. This week, Adobe expects consumers to spend $4.8 billion on Saturday, $5.2 billion on Sunday, and a whopping $12 billion on Cyber Monday, which would be a 5.4% increase from last year, all of which is in line with what we reported here a couple of weeks ago, that the National Retail Federation said that they thought holiday online sales would probably grow by about 7%. Adobe Analytics downplayed the impact of inflation, saying, quote, "A strong consumer spending online continues to be driven by net new demand and not higher prices. Adobe's digital price index shows e-commerce prices have fallen consecutively for 14 months. They're down actually 6% year over year in October of 2023 alone. Adobe figures are not adjusted for inflation, but if online deflation were factored in, growth in consumer spend would be even stronger." So what they're saying here is prices online in aggregate have actually declined. Stuff has gotten cheaper online. So these sales increases are not the result of prices actually going up. They are actually the result of people legitimately spending more money, which is good news for everyone involved. They note consumers still expect the best discounts during these days, and retailers are delivering, which is why we anticipate a record $37.2 billion in sales during the Cyber Week, which is the 5 days from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday. This article appeared over on eCommerce Bytes, and I will, as always, of course, link to all of this in the show notes and the video description below. That, my friends, is essentially all the news, which I said last week there may not be an episode because there might not be a lot of news. This is not typically a big news week, but the IRS announcement I thought justified doing a show. So I put those two things together, and now we'll do the What Sold segment. So again, if you follow me over on Instagram, I did my weekly recap on Saturday about everything that I sold over the week and new listings and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I did notice was that I've already set a sales record for November as of the 22nd of this month. So with 8 full selling days remaining in the calendar month, I've already had my best November ever. So you can let me know again in the comments. If you're listening to the podcast, you can leave me a voice message there. There should be a link in the show notes, or you can, of course, email me at galaxycds@gmail.com and let me know how your sales have been. But this is the fourth consecutive month now that I have set a record for sales, dating back to August, and July was the second best July I've ever had. So essentially for the last 5 months, my business has just been crushing it. One thing I suppose I would point to, I did an episode of this show back in June about things I was doing to try to combat the dreaded summer slowdown. I have continued to do all of those things as we've progressed through the fall and into the selling season, and those things seem to be working. So if you have some ideas about looking at that show, I will link to it down below so you can go back and take a look at that and maybe pick up a couple things that you might use to help get your business kickstarted if you're struggling a little bit. We've got a big What Sold recap. I sold, I think, 94 or 95 listings last week, so there is a ton of stuff to cover here. So let's get stuck right in. This first item sold over on Etsy, Bottoms Up with a Rear Admiral by E. Aubrey Cox. This was published in 1969. It was an illustrated hardcover with its dust jacket. This was part of the big 15,000 book lot, so it's one that I own for less than a nickel. It sold for $21.99 plus shipping. Staying over on Etsy, Herbert, The Making of a Soldier, Anthony B. Herbert. This was published in 1982. It's about a soldier's experience going through boot camp and then into service during the Vietnam War. This was an illustrated hardcover with its dust jacket. It was a book club edition that I picked up at an estate sale probably 6 months ago or so for a dollar. It sold also on Etsy for $21.99 plus shipping. Big week on Etsy, as you can see here. Another sale over there. This was part of a big science fiction paperback lot. I bought, 100 or 150 science fiction paperbacks for $1 a piece back in the summer. This is one of those, The Search for the Elements. Obviously, this one is not science fiction, but it was part of that same buy. It was written by Isaac Asimov back in 1966. It was a first edition, first printing Fawcett paperback. Again, I'm into it for a dollar. It sold for $24.99 plus shipping. eBay, again, with these mechanical engineering books, I do so well with these. I just always grab them. Mechanical Engineering Laboratory Practice by Ambrosius and Fellows. This is from 1957. So again, vintage textbook in really, really nice condition. This was part of a big lot of engineering and mechanical drawing textbooks that I picked up at an estate sale for $2 a piece. This sold for $24.99 plus media mail shipping. This was an interesting book. I really couldn't find much information on this. I picked this up at the Dayton Friends of the Library sale a couple of weeks ago for $1.50. The Rheinmetall Handbook on Weaponry. This is from 1982. It's a second edition English edition, illustrated, kind of a paperback. It's in like a plastic cover. hundreds and hundreds of pages of different types of weapons. Really unusual book. There were a few of them that had sold over the months. I really couldn't tell where to price this. So this is one that I did start at an auction at $19.99. It got three bids, ultimately sold for $26 plus media mail shipping. So a really interesting piece. I don't know how likely you are to stumble on this. It seems like it's a reference type book, but again, $26 from a buck and a half. This was a set of book I picked up at an estate sale, just a couple of weeks ago. And it's not a particularly valuable set. I will occasionally pick these up. I'll find like a volume here and a volume there. This was the first time I'd found a complete set of these, and these were in really nice condition. So I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, what would you do for these? And we had already been talking a little bit, and he's like, is this what you do for a living? I'm like, yeah, I buy books at sales like yours, and then I sell them online for more money than you sell them to me for. And yeah, that's how I make my living. That's what I do full time. And he's like, that is really amazing that you can do that. So I asked him, I said, what would you do for this set of books? He says, well, I don't know. What do you think? And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I just looked them up, and they're selling for about $30 for the entire set online on eBay. And he says, how about $5? I said, I'm in. And so that's what we did. I had them listed for $34.99 or best offer to allow myself a little bit of cushion. Got a watcher. I sent out my 15% offer and sold these for $29.74. It's The Military History of World War II. It was written by Trevor Dupuy. It's a complete set of illustrated hardcovers, 18 volumes in the set. They're kind of small, maybe like 5x7 books, maybe 100 pages a piece. It's not a real big set of books, but this set was in fantastic condition. $5 into 30. Not my best flip ever, but it's an interesting sale, and it was profitable, so I went ahead and included it. Another old book, this one from 1895, Mostly Boys Short Stories by Francis J. Finn. This was published by Benziger Brothers. It was a small hardcover book full of short stories. Kind of an interesting piece. This was part of a big lot that I owned for about 16 cents a piece. It sold on eBay for $29.99 plus shipping. Back to the 15,000 book lot. So this is another one that I own for less than a nickel, a book called Tory Hole by Louise Hall Tharp. It was published in 1940. It was an illustrated hardcover published by Little Brown and Company. It was a first edition book. This sold for $29.99 plus, again, media mail shipping. This is a book I also picked up at the recent Friends of the Library sale up in Dayton. I paid $2 for this item, The Handbook of Nature Study by Anna Botsford Comstock. This was published in 1924. It was the 15th edition, illustrated hardcover in pretty nice shape. Again, I bought it for $2. I had it listed for $34.99 or best offer. I received an offer of $30 and sent it on its way. This is a book that I picked up a couple of weeks ago as part of a big lot of probably 30 or 40 books that I paid essentially a dollar a piece for. Germantown Historical Society, Our Landmarks, Volume 1, 1804 to 1978. It was an illustrated paperback about historical buildings and whatnot in Germantown, Ohio. I tend to try to snap up all of these like local landmark and architectural books. They're not necessarily fast sellers, but they almost always sell. Someone from the community or someone who was involved with, this was published by the Germantown Historical Society, so someone who was part of that group or whose family members were part of that group will see this thing and be interested in it. So unless somebody's asking like crazy money for them, I will usually go ahead and grab them. Again, this is one that I own for about a dollar. It sold for $32.99 plus shipping. Another kind of textbook / educational book about welding, The Design of Weldments. This was a textbook by Omer W. Blodgett, published in 1963. It was a first printing, and it said actually right on the copyright page that this was one of a limited print run of just 5,000 copies of this book. So that, of course, added some potential value to it. It was in fantastic condition. This is one that I picked up at an estate sale for $2, probably about 6 months ago. It sold for $34.99, plus again, media mail shipping. back over to Etsy and back onto some religious books. The Manual of Catholic Devotions, a manual of approved prayers for Catholics. This was published in 1924. Small, like 3x4 leather-bound pocket prayer book. Picked it up at an estate sale for $2 not too long ago. It sold for $34.99. DVDs, I still will occasionally pick them up. I was at a sale that had a bunch of Gene Autry collection DVDs, most of them new and sealed that looked like they had some pretty good value. This is the first one that I've sold of that batch, the Gene Autry collection, Melody Ranch from 1940. The DVD was actually put out in 1998. This is a black and white movie. The DVD itself was new and sealed. I'm into this for one whole dollar. It also sold for $34.99. Again, I talk about these like military-type yearbooks all the time. This is a history of the Ohio Air National Guard from 1927 to 1974. First edition illustrated hardcover in fantastic condition. The buyers already received this and already left feedback that it was in like-new condition. I did not list it as like-new. I listed it as very good. I've talked about that on this show previously. I'm a big believer in kind of under-promise, over-deliver. If it's like-new, I probably call it very good. If it's very good, I probably call it good, just to kind of set an expectation and have a customer on the other end who ends up being ecstatic that they got a book that was better than what they were expecting. Really neat piece. I picked this up for $2 at an estate sale recently, and it sold for $44.99 plus shipping. This was a really nice sale. So I picked this up at an estate sale for, or rather a garage sale back in the spring for $1. I knew at the time it was going to be worth a lot more money than that. And when I took it up to the desk, I was willing to pay more money for it. And she told me it was $1. And I said, "Are you sure you only want $1 for this?" And she says, "Yes, you can have it for $1. So I'm into this for one whole dollar. The China Airlift, The Hump, Volume 2, published by the Hump Pilots Association from China, Burma, and India. This was a first edition hardcover published back in 1983. Again, a $1 garage sale item I had listed for $109.99 or best offer. Sent out an offer to a watcher for 15% off and sold this thing for $93.49. Not many of these out there. Again, probably unlikely to run into it, but this is another example of a kind of unusual military book. It was privately published for members of this particular group. Found one in the wild and made a really nice flip on it. And last, your flip of the week. This is part of, again, the big 15,000 book lot. So this is an item I'm into for less than a nickel. 1975 and the Changes to Come by Arnold Barak and the editors of Kiplinger magazine. It was an illustrated first edition hardcover with its dust jacket, kind of a futurism book written in the 70s about what the next couple of decades were going to look like in terms of technology and all that kind of stuff. These things are always really fascinating to look at to see kind of what they got right and what they did not get so right. But again, really interesting piece in reasonably good condition. The dust jacket did have some minor damage on it. I listed it as in good condition. Again, as I always do, with a ton of photos showing what it looked like. This thing sold for $99.99 plus medium mail shipping. So again, a pretty solid week. 94, 95 listings sold over the week with some really nice pops. Hopefully you're having a good week. Hopefully the Black Friday through Cyber Monday is very strong for you. And that's all I've got for you this week, folks. After an hour-long episode last week, we got 23 minutes and some change today. Just not a ton of stuff going on in the reselling news world, but enough stuff to justify putting together a quick episode. So I hope this all finds you doing well and enjoying the early edition of the Q4 holiday season. As always, I appreciate you spending a little bit of time here, especially again over on YouTube, all the new subscribers. It seems like once I got close to 1,000, the floodgates have opened. Lots of new folks listening to and watching the show. So I appreciate you all spending a little bit of your day listening to me ramble about all this kind of stuff. If you got something out of this episode, please do me a favor. If you are watching on YouTube, and hit that thumbs up button. If you're not currently a subscriber to the YouTube channel and the follower of the podcast, please consider doing that as well. And of course, share this with any of your like-minded reselling friends that you think might enjoy it. With that, my friends, It's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.